from the book of Habakkuk, Old Testament minor prophet. Habakkuk. Go to Matthew and start turning backwards. You'll get there in a short period of time. It's a short little book. We should be there with cell phones and iPads, and we should be there. The text reads as thus from the first chapter of Habakkuk, verses 1 through 3. And the third chapter, verses 18 and 19. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received: how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Third chapter, verses 18 and 19. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music, in our day, Brother Skinner, for the minister of music, on my string instruments. I want you to notice very quickly how the prophet opens this book. He opens this book complaining, but he closes shouting. Subject for today: moving from pain to praise. Moving from pain to praise. Let us pray. God, we thank you. So loving, so forgiving. We thank you, Lord, that you've afforded us another opportunity to be in this house one more time. Dear Father, as I stand before your people to acknowledge your word, I ask that you will assign to me the anointing that is appropriate for this task. The anointing that will make preaching and teaching easy. The anointing that will bring clarity to your word, so when we leave this place, we will not just leave saying we had a good time, but we'll leave with an understanding. Have your way in this place, for you get the glory and you get the honor. This prayer will lift in your name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Moving from pain to praise. The book Habakkuk means wrestling. So the prophet has a number of questions for God, and he also brings several complaints against God. This book is a conversation between Habakkuk and God. Here the prophet is arguing that the ways of God are unjust. The prophet represented the questions of the godly in Judah, and he no doubt gives voice to some of our complaints as well. In our day in which we live, we ask a variety of questions. Why does God seem so far away? When will he do something for me? I see him doing things for others, but when will he do something for me? Why does my life always seem to go from bad to worse? It's sometimes hard, my brothers and sisters, for us to jump right into singing when all is that we feel like doing is crying. Preacher, you said praise, but that's all I want to do is break down and cry this morning. But this text is going to help us all, because we're going to see the prophet moving from pain to praise. Oh, glory to God. I want you to understand here today that it is not wrong to ask questions or even complain to God. One more time for the record. It's not wrong to ask God questions, and neither is it wrong to complain to God. Our God knows all. He understands all. And he knows that we are living in a clay house. And many times the pressures of this world, they beat down upon us. The book of Job and many of the Psalms express serious questions to God. For Psalm, the 10th division and the first verse, the psalmist says to God, "Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? I need you, but I don't need you, God, standing afar off." I find here in 10 and 1 that the psalmist is expressing his frustration at the coolness of God. He finds that God is on reserve, and he says, "Why do you stand far away? And I need you to be close in proximity." In our text, Habakkuk 1 and 3, the prophet basically is charging God with being both indifferent and inactive. God, you do not care, and you are not involved in my situation. That's how we come into the book of Haggai, the book of Habakkuk. That's how we come into this minor prophet. When tragedy leaves us tittering. It's not unspiritual to declare our questions to God. When all of a sudden, the bottom falls out. It is realistic to declare our questions to God. Why, preacher? Because he can handle it. He's big enough to handle our cries. Some of you have been rocketed by some heavy artillery in 2013. And you're thinking right now in your mind, Lord, how I made it. But God, I thank you for allowing me to make it over. Not out of the goodness in which I live, but out of the grace of God that I am yet alive. Yeah, because it's the devil's job to take us out. And it doesn't matter to him, be it the preacher, the deacons, the mothers, the members. It doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to Satan who he takes out. So church, what do we do when we are faced with the avalanche of agony and we feel like God is playing hide and seek? What do you do? What do I do when I go to find him and he is not there? When I call him and he does not respond, it seemed like to me he is playing hide and seek. What do I do when my back is against the wall and I don't know which way to turn? Now, don't sit there and look at me as though you've never been there. But I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, it is much better to ask God where he's been than it is to wear your spiritual smiles and act like everything is going well when you know it is not. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, you may be blessed, and I'm not saying you are not highly favored, but every day is not peachy and creamy. Every day we're not jumping up and turning flips. Every day we're not running corners, but there are some times we don't even feel like going. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness in the house? So we need to be real with God. He knows all things, and we can't hide it from him anyhow. Sometimes we get mad with him. But he'll help us to work our way out. When I look at the word question, and the root of that word is guest. Quest. So if we are on a quest to understand, if we are serious about seeking answers, then we do not need to hesitate to declare our doubts with God. If we do not ask, then we can miss out on some of the surprising things that God wants to accomplish in our life. But there are times we say, well, if I question him, God may punish me. But God is not going to punish you for asking him a question. God is our Father. And certainly when we ask our earthly fathers a question, certainly they should not punish us just because we ask them a question. Now, you know, those of you that's been here for a while in age, there were years ago that you dare not ask a question. Do I have a witness? Because the only response you are going to get is, because I told you so. But times have changed, and so we ask questions so we can get answers. Look at Habakkuk as he describes his complaint in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. You don't mind me taking my time, do you? 1 and 13, he describes his complaints. He says, Lord, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then, he's asking the question, do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Why, Lord, do you allow the wicked to look like they have it going on, but the righteous are having a difficult time? Help us in here, God. And so his main beef is that it doesn't seem fair that God would use a wicked person like the Babylonians to punish God's people. So today we need to deepen our commitment to God. I need to get closer to God. I need to deepen my allegiance to God. You see, I love here the faith progression that takes place in this little book with three chapters. For I find the prophet begins the text with a long question, with the how long question. And then the how long question is followed by two bold why questions. And then he spells out his complaints in specific detail. And as a result of being honest with God, and after questioning and complaining to God, the prophet is now in position to move to the next step in the praise process. Now, when we look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint. Oh, bless the Lord in this house. So here the prophet is ready to hear God's answers. Need you to get this now. He is ready to hear God's answer, even though he is not going to lack what God has to say. You see, it's just like us. We ask God to do something for us, and God doesn't do what we've asked him to do the exact way that we've asked him to do. And sometimes we get an attitude, we say, God, I don't know about that because I've asked you to do it another way. But we have to see that God can see beyond our vision. He knows all about us. He knows about our tomorrow, and we haven't seen our tomorrow yet. So it's good that God doesn't give us everything that we ask, because some of us would get the big head and would walk by our brothers and sisters and wouldn't even speak to them. Do you have a witness in the house?
Yes, but we can learn. We can learn here from this prophet of old. Express today. We need to express our feelings to God and then turn again to the Lord. Express your feelings. Tell God how you're feeling. Just go ahead and tell God how you're feeling. If you don't understand, God, why do I have to take this pill? The doctor told me that I had to take it the rest of my life. God, I am sick of popping this pill every morning or every night before I go to bed. God, I'm tired of popping the pill. But the Lord says, you bring it to me. And then after you bring it to me, then you leave it alone and go about your business. Or do I have any witnesses in here? Because God's will is going to be done. And that's how we should pray. God, allow your will to be done. Sometimes your will is hard. Sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes I may not want your will to be done. I may not be able to handle your will. But God, let your will be done in my life. And now God answers Habakkuk, but never really answers his how long, because he's God. And he doesn't really answer the why questions either. But he does give Habakkuk two anchors to hold on to. Anchor one, he gave him the word of God. Because when this world catches on fire, the word of God is going to stand. The second anchor that he gives him is the righteous will live by faith. Now let's look at Habakkuk 2, 1, 2, and 3. Habakkuk number 2. And I want to look at verse number 2. Habakkuk 2. Verse 2. He's responding here. And this is the Lord's answer. This is the Lord's answer to the prophet that couldn't see clear. Says to him, write down the revelation. He said, write down the vision and make it plain on tables, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false, though it linger, though you may not believe it, though you may not can see it. He says, wait. Oh God, do I have any help in here? He says, wait for it. I can't figure the vision out. I can't understand the vision. The vision is not what I want. He says, wait. Oh God. He said, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. So today, in the midst of the mess of life, when problems are getting the best of you, I say, as God said to Habakkuk, hold on. Hold on, because God knows what is best for you. He says, if you can't see it, he says, wait, because I'm going to bring it to pass. Oh, bless the Lord in here. So I see now he is moving him from pain to praise. Do you know that it's possible to praise even when you are in pain? How many in here ever had a pain in your body, but you lifted your hand and said, glory to God anyway? You can praise the Lord while you are in pain. Don't ever allow the enemy to get you in a position that you become so disgusted that you cannot offer God a praise that you cannot tell God, thank you. Maybe going through, but God, thank you. You see, today we can love God when we experience loss. Do I have a witness? In the fact, the most authentic times of adoration are often when we feel the most awful. That's when we can give God a clear praise. Because the Lord knows that it's taken everything that I have to offer him a praise when I'm feeling in an awful state. So let us learn, and let us learn from this minor prophet as he followed the process that moved him from pain to praise. I see Habakkuk now in the word of worship. You see, God is worthy of worship. Worship is not complete until we follow the ark from agony to adoration. You see, it's not complete until we go through. You see, some of us have not experienced the bottom falling out yet. But those of you that know a little something, something about what I'm talking about, when the bottom falls out, nobody don't have to tell you how to worship God. Nobody don't have to tell you to give God a praise. But you give God a true praise when the devil get on your trail. Oh, do I have any witnesses in here? So when we go from agony to adoration, we can give God a praise. We can say, God, I'm going to praise you anyhow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, when pain has been acknowledged, we are invited to focus on God's faithfulness in the midst of suffering. In the midst of suffering, God wants us to acknowledge God's faithfulness. I know it's raining in your life right now, and you see that it is raining, but God wants you to acknowledge his faithfulness. I know that things are going haywire in your life, but God wants you to look beyond the haywire and see his faithfulness. God has said, I'm still faithful to you in the midst of the trouble. I'm still waking you up every morning. Oh, do I have any witnesses in the house? For God is a good God. And we see now in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 1, as he transitions now, and he offers a prayer in verse number 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of the Shinonite. And see, when you look at that, that's a musical term. That is a musical term. I don't know whether they still use that term in college campus, on college campuses today, but way back there in scripture, that was a musical term. So I see here as he gives the musical term, because there's something that is shifting now from pain to praise. There's something that is moving, because it's moving now from a complaint about problems to a composition of prayerful praise. I cannot stay in this stupor all day. I cannot stay burdened down all day. I know things are not going well for me, but I cannot stay like this all day and all night. I got to give God a prayerful praise, because I know what the devil is trying to do to me, but God is going to bring me out. I see here in Habakkuk chapter 3 where worry is transformed into worship. I see it in chapter 3. I see in chapter 3 where fear turns to faith. I see in chapter 3 where terror becomes trust. Oh, I see in chapter 3. Holy Ghost, help me in here. I see hang-ups are resolved with hope. I see in chapter 3 anguish being turned into adoration. I see where pain is being turned into praise. Satan, you thought you had me. Oh, God Almighty. Don't let me preach this thing by myself. Satan, you thought you had me. And while you thought you had me, you should have took me out then. But you let me get loose. Somebody praise him here. Somebody praise him here. Tap your own self on the shoulder. And say, from pain to praise. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. Disappointment does not have to lead to despair. And I love the word in the third chapter and the 18th verse. I love that word. The first word, the third chapter in the 18th verse, it says, yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though there be no food, Habakkuk said, I will yet rejoice in the Lord. Job, come here, Job, and help me with this text. Job said, though he slay me. Are you praying with me? Yet will I trust him. Yeah, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Do I have any witnesses in here? And that in the end, he shall stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer lives. Yea, though you slay me, all my children are dead, and my wife is talking foolish, Job says, but yet, oh God, yet I will wait on you. I will wait until my change comes. Your change is coming. Somebody pat yourself and say, my change. My change. Encourage yourself and say, my change. My change is coming. Somebody give God a praise. If you believe it, give God a praise. If you believe it, give God a praise. Yeah, my change is coming. I don't care how long the devil's been on your trail. I don't care how the devil may be bothering you. I don't care about your dreams. You go to bed and you dream and you get up the next morning and say, how in the world did I dream that? I didn't have any of that stuff, any of that mess on my mind. I let the devil continue. But I want you to know today that God is going to bring about a change. Somebody said change. God changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he rejoices. In Habakkuk 3:18, he rejoices. Chapter 1, he was in pain. Chapter 1, he was complaining. But I find in 18, he rejoices in the Lord. When he has nothing else, he has the Lord. Now you take this at home with you. When you don't have anything else, you got the Lord. You, hear me, church. When you're home, it's turned upside down. When you don't have anything else, you got the Lord. Oh, when the devil is trying to take you out, you got the Lord. And other folk may leave you, but God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the close of the age. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So when I cannot rejoice in my situation, I can always rejoice in my God. I can always rejoice in my God because I know who it is that's keeping me in my right mind. The devil doesn't want you to be happy, but God, I thank you now. Now in chapter 1, I find that the prophet is low in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, he climbs up the watchtower to wait for God's answer. And in chapter 3, he is walking on the heights. God, thank you for your word. He has steadily progressed on an upward journey towards God. So let me ask you today, are you ready? Are you ready to move from pain to praise? Are you ready today to let God give you some praise? Are you ready today to look back over your life and see and where the Lord has brought you from and say, God, I'm going to give you the praise. Oh, God, I'm going to give you the praise, God, because I don't know how I arrived at this moment in time. Because when I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for me, my soul cries out, thank you, Lord, for saving me. So I said, church, don't you unravel. Don't you unplug. Because there are some times in life that you want to walk out and leave the church. But the book of Hebrews says, let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, even the more as you see the day approaching, according to Hebrews 10 and 25. You need to stay on board, because this old ship of Zion is headed for the other side. Oh, bless his holy name. So I find now that praise must become personal. I cannot praise God for you, and you can't praise God for me. I have to look over my own life and see how God helped me to deal with some things. When I thought I was going to throw in the towel, how God assisted me to hang on with the towel. When I thought that I was not going to get through the valley, how God assisted me in my pain to say, if you stay the course, if you stay the course, if you just throw out one of the anchors and anchor down in my word, I don't care how hard the wind will blow, I won't let the wind blow you away. Do I have any witness in here? Oh, bless the Lord. So praise must become personal, because Habakkuk says, I will rejoice. God, I've complained and I said that you are a God of injustices, but now I see the light. I see what you're bringing to me, Lord. I will rejoice. I will give you the praise. So I said, let the Lord handle your problems. Let the Lord handle your problems. And when the Lord handles your problems, he'll bring you from fighting with God to having faith in God. He closes this book. And I need the music ministry to help me with the summary of this text. To close this text. Because this text closes on a musical instrument. So I need our minister of music and our percussionists to break out with everything you got. We got to finish this sermon on a high note. Give me some praise on the instruments, because this is how it closed out. That's how it closed out, not with singing, but it closed out on the instruments. Give it to me, Jordan and Brother Skinner. Give it to us now. And you can go from pain to praise. Yeah, God. Yeah, God, yeah. From pain to praise. From pain to praise. I. Thank you. I don't know how God is going to do this thing for you, but yet I will praise the Lord. Don't know how he's going to do it. Don't know how he's going to turn it around. Don't know how he's going to open the door. Don't know how he's going to help me to get my finances in order. I don't know how he's going to bring peace to my soul, but I will praise the Lord. Yet, I will praise the Lord. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Praise him anyhow. Praise him anyhow. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but yet I will praise the Lord. I don't know what next week is going to bring, but yet I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah.